To the book of Joshua, chapter 6. Book of Joshua, chapter 6. I'd like to read verse 18. We'll be looking at several verses in Joshua 6 and 7, but we want to take the main thought from Joshua 6, verse 18. And ye, in any wise, that is under any circumstance, under all circumstances, keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest you make yourselves accursed when you take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. Israel had been promised victory over Jericho. In Joshua 6 and verse 2, and the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. Following that promise, they were instructed how this victory would be accomplished. In Joshua 6, verses 3 through 5. We'll not read those verses, but we know that they were to march around the city in silence. They were to do this once every day for 6 days. And on the seventh day, they were to march around the city 7 times. And on that seventh time, they were to blow the trumpet, all the people were to shout, and the promise was in verse 5, the latter part of that verse, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. So victory would be accomplished, but it would be accomplished God's way. In verses 6 through verse 14 of Joshua 6, we have record of the people's obedience. And then coming to verse 16, we see it is the seventh day. Verse 16, and it came to pass at the seventh time when the priests blew with the trumpets. So they are about to march around the city. They've already marched around it 6 times on this seventh day, and they're about to march around it for the seventh time. It was right before that that Joshua reiterated the promise, and he also gave warning, and that is where we read in verse 18. They were being forbidden to enrich themselves by any of the spoils of Jericho. There in our text in Joshua 6 and verse 18. Notice again, verse 18. And ye in any wise, that is, no matter what happens, keep yourselves, that's personal, individually, from the accursed thing. That which would bring a blight, a plague, a cancer, and a poison. That which would result in affliction, trouble, and mercy. He says, stay away from the accursed thing. He's talking about the spoils of Jericho. Lest ye make yourselves personally accursed when ye take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel collectively a curse and trouble it. So if the warning is, do not take of the accursed thing. If you do, You will make yourself a curse, and you will bring a curse upon the nation that will cause the nation much trouble. So this was a very plain warning. It was a very serious, very urgent warning. Stay away from the accursed thing, is what Joshua is saying. It was a warning concerning terrible, awful, dreadful consequences. So I want to speak this evening on beware of that which is accursed. Or we could say, be careful what you carry out of Jericho. Be careful what you carry out of this world. Be careful what you take out of this world and bring home with you. That's the lesson that we see here. Now we know that Achan took of the accursed thing. Most of the time when Achan is preached on, and no doubt it is taught very plainly, it's taught that the sin of one can affect many. No doubt that truth is taught. But we want to approach it in a little different way this evening. And again, that is, be careful what you take out of this world. It could bring a curse upon your life. You know, I'm asked many times, do you believe in curses? Yes, I do. The Bible teaches it. The Bible teaches generational curses. The Bible's very plain on that. It's not something that most people want to think about, but it's true. And we see it here in Joshua 6 and Joshua 7. First of all, let's consider the act of Achan. God gave Israel a miraculous victory over Jericho. Notice in Joshua 6, verse 20 and 21. So the people shouted when the priests blew at the trumpets. And it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, and ox, and sheep, and ass, with the edge of the sword. So they've experienced a wonderful victory. But we read in verse 27, so the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout all the country. God had blessed in a mighty way, but unknown to Israel, there was a problem. Joshua 7, verse 1. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing, the very thing that was warned against in Joshua 6 and verse 18. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. Achan took of the accursed thing. But though it was the act of Achan, you notice that the whole nation is charged. The children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. And the consequence was this. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. Because of that, progress is brought to a sudden halt. Coming off the miraculous victory at Jericho, they come to the next enemy, which is Ai. In chapter 7, verses 2 and 3, Joshua sends out men from Jericho to scope out who would be the next foe. And these men return with this message of confidence. It's not necessary for all of us to go against Ai, for they are much smaller and weaker than Jericho. Joshua will only need 2,000 to 3,000 men to accomplish this task of defeating Ai. In verses 4 and 5 of chapter 7, we see that about 3,000 men, full of confidence, went up to take Ai, but they ended up fleeing from the men of Ai, and 36 of them were slain. What should have been an easy victory turned out to be a great loss. Why? Gets back to the cursed thing. The result, wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. There in verse 5 of Joshua 7. We read in verses 6 through 9 the effect that this defeat had upon Joshua. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the evening tide. He and the elders of Israel and put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, "Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan." He said we would have been better off had we stayed on the other side. "O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it, and shall environ us around, and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name?" Joshua is in prayer. Joshua is discouraged. Progress has been halted. Victory has been won. And now, where there should have been a victory, there's defeat. That happens all the time. Where God's people should be victorious, they're defeated. And I believe the reason is the same. So progress has been halted. Discouragement has replaced joy. Oh, the joy they had when the walls of Jericho fell down flat. But oh, the discouragement when 3,000 men flee from a few in Ai and 36 are slain. Now Israel is demoralized. They are intimidated by a very weak enemy. They have been rendered unable. Notice Joshua 7 and verse 12. "Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs." They had been rendered unable. Here is a nation who was able, and now they're unable. The reason is stated in verse 11. Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled, which means they are pretenders. They have put on a false front. They have sinned, and they have put on a false front. Oh, there's a message there for you and I today. How many times people sin, and rather than repenting, they put on a false front because of what people might think, failing to realize they have brought a curse into their lives. And they have put it even among their own stuff. So here is Israel. When they should have won, they lost. Israel missed out in Ai because they messed up in Jericho. And when you and I miss out on God, it's because we messed up somewhere else. And it would behoove us to find out where we messed up. The sin of Achan is described. In verse 15, it is described as folly. And it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire, he and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he hath wrought folly in Israel. So the act of Achan was an act of folly. Put that in plain English, it was an act of stupidity. It was an act of lunacy, madness, recklessness, irresponsibility. It was an act of indiscretion. It was an act of thoughtlessness. Achan describes his act, notice in verse 21, when I saw, now Joshua has approached Achan, and Achan admits his sin, and he describes what happened. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. Notice what took place. First of all, he saw. When I saw. Perhaps he could not help but see what he saw. But he did not turn his head from it. He is now looking and dwelling upon what God has forbidden. He is now looking and dwelling upon the wrong thing. That Babylonian garment, the silver, the gold. Again, perhaps he couldn't help but see it, but he should have turned away. But he continued to look. He continued to dwell on it. He is now focused upon that which will destroy him. You are in a heap of trouble when you begin to focus on that which will destroy, that which has destroyed others will destroy you and me. But he's now looking at it. To the extent it says, and I coveted them. I began to desire that garment. I began to desire that silver and that gold. You see, when Achan began to desire those things, he was on a track that has nothing to do with the Lord and everything to do with Achan. Beware of getting on that track. The track that has absolutely nothing to do with God and everything to do with me. That'll bring a curse into your life. So look at him. Look at him intently. As Achan is desiring that which will destroy him. He looks at it, and the longer he looks at it, he says, there's nothing wrong with that garment. What would be wrong with me having this silver? What would be wrong with me having this gold? You see, some people are in the life that they're in because they saw something. And they began to develop an appetite for it. Be careful what you develop an appetite for. And now he said, I coveted them. That is, I began to have an appetite for it. He begins to think, I've got to have it. I've got to have that garment. I've got to have that silver. I've got to have that gold. I've got to have it. I've just got to have it. We need to examine and ask ourselves, what are we consumed with? What is it that we think we have to have? Is it something that's going to bring a curse into our life? And the best way to answer that question, what are we consumed with, is what are we pursuing? Whatever that is what we're consumed with. Next, it says, he saw them, he coveted them, and took them. This was a deliberate decision. This is not a sin of ignorance. It is a deliberate act of disobedience. Achan looked at it. He developed an appetite for it. And he reached forth and he put his hands upon it. He is now touching something that he had no business touching. Achan has gotten into some stuff that he should have stayed out of. He did something that caused God to turn his anger against Israel. We must ask ourselves, is there anything that we can want in life worth making God angry? Is there anything worth that? I mean, if you think there is, again, this is an act of folly, an act of stupidity, an act of one who's absolutely lost their mind. Is there anything worth making God angry? Next we read, not only did he take them, but they are hid in the earth, in the midst of my tent. He took that which was a curse, and he brought it home. And he brought it home. Oh, what foolishness. I mean, think about it. All the foolishness to take a garment that you cannot wear, to take silver and gold that you cannot spend. I mean, that's foolishness. And he takes it home. A lot of things, and we'll get to this in a few minutes, that we can take from this world and bring home with us. And I guarantee you it'll place a curse in your house, your home, your family. Better be careful what you take out of Jericho. Notice the sad consequences of Achan's act. What he had done was a very serious and solemn matter. Notice verse 24 and 25. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah. They also took the silver and the garment and the wedge of gold. They also took his sons and his daughters and his oxen and his asses and his sheep and his tent and all that he had. Took everything. And they brought them into the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, "Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day." And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned them, his sons, his daughters, after they had stoned them with stones. The act of Achan had a huge impact upon Israel, bringing their going forward in the cause of God to a halt, causing them to lose their power and their joy and their courage, resulting in defeat, depression, and even the loss of life. 36 men died because of what Achan did. That's pretty serious. The act of Achan also brought destruction and ruin to his family. He brought his family down with him. Imagine what Achan felt when it was revealed that he and his sons and daughters would be killed. Imagine how that his sons and daughters felt when they were told, "You are going to be stoned because of what your dad did." Imagine how they felt. Imagine how they must have looked at Achan that day before the stones started flying toward them. Sad, sad consequences. Because Achan took something out of Jericho and brought it home. And there is a warning for you and I today. Again, I ask you, is there anything worth making God angry? Is there anything worth it? Is there anything worth bringing home that will destroy your sons and your daughters? Oh, God wouldn't do that. You'd better read the Bible. Because God did it all the time. And He still does. Now notice, we want to make application of Achan's act. The story of Achan should scare us to death. It should cause us to tremble. And here's why. Because we all have Achan in us. Every one of us. We all have Achan in us. We're all a little bit like Achan. And it ought to scare us to death. The act of Achan reveals that it doesn't take much to mess everything up. It don't take much. One look, develop an appetite, take it, bring it home. It don't take much. The record of Achan is a reminder that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. The record of Achan is a warning that you can never sin small enough that it will not bring consequences. Well, it's no big deal. Tell Achan that. Tell some of the others of the Old Testament that. Well, it's no big deal. You can't sin small enough that it won't have consequences. Every sin has a consequence. We lose something every time we sin. There's consequences. Any violation of God's will, any transgression against God's word, any disobedience to God's order has consequences. Achan took that which was destructive, that which would lead to ruin, and he brought it home. Oh, how careful we need to be what we take from this world. That is why there is the dysfunction that there is today, even in God, the lives of God's people. Because they have been careless what they have taken out of the world and brought home with them. It brings a curse. Jericho was a cursed place. This world is a cursed place. And Achan took from Jericho that which would result in ruin. And here we are, living in a cursed place. And we had better be careful what we focus upon. We had better be careful what we develop an appetite for. We had better be careful what we lay hold of. We had better be careful of what we bring home. And just like Achan, put it amongst our stuff. It may bring a curse to you personally, to your family. It may cost lives. We must take heed of John's warning. Notice in 1 John chapter 2, very familiar passage of Scripture. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now that's as plain as it can get. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. These verses are a warning concerning a fatal attraction to the world. It's fatal. It's nothing to be messed with. Attraction to this world will kill you. It's fatal. He is speaking of the world as a society, as a system, as a way of life. He is referring to the evil system of carnal man who are in opposition to God. The world is a system. It is a system of ideas, a system of activities and people who are in active rebellion against God. And as such, the world is condemned throughout the Word of God. It is pictured as being under the dominion of Satan. Therefore, we had better be careful what we take out of this world. We had better be careful what we develop an appetite for. We'd better be careful what we take home from this world, because this world is under the dominion of Satan. He is its prince. He regulates its policies. The world as a system is the embodiment of his spirit. The world as a system bears the very image of Satan. So we read in Ephesians 2 and verse 2 that before our salvation we walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Considered morally, the world is synonymous with the kingdom of Satan. And this world is the very sphere of rebellion against God. Be careful what you set your eyes on. Be careful what you develop an appetite for. Be careful what you lay hold of and bring home and hide amongst your stuff. Achan serves as a warning. This world is a place that is against Christ. As a system, Christ warned against it again and again. When Jesus Christ, the Son of God, became incarnate, we read in John 1 and verse 10 that the world knew Him not. And that's still true today. The world still does not know Him. Be careful what you take out of a world that is in ignorance of Jesus Christ. Jesus declared in John 7 and verse 7 concerning the world, "Me it hateth." And the world still, as a system, hates Jesus Christ. Matthew 13 and verse 22, Jesus said that the cares of the world, that doesn't mean sinful cares, just the cares of the world in general, and the deceitfulness of its riches choke the word, so much so that it becomes unfruitful. He said in Matthew 18 and verse 7, "Woe unto the world because of offenses." Everywhere you turn, the world offends Jesus Christ. The world is full of offenses. Be careful what you set your eyes on. Be careful what you develop an appetite for in this world. Be careful what you lay hold of. Be careful what you bring home. It may prove to be a curse. New Testament writers warned against the world. Paul said in Galatians 4 and verse 4, he spoke of this present evil world. And in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 19, the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. In Titus 2 and verse 12, he linked together ungodliness and worldly lust. And Peter mentions in 2 Peter 2 and verse 20 the pollutions of the world. While John informs us in 1 John 4 and verse 3 that the spirit of Antichrist even now is already in the world. In 1 John 5, verse 19, John warns us, the whole world lieth in wickedness. With all that being said, oh, how careful we need to be what we set our eyes on. Many of God's people have set their eyes on the accursed thing. You can't drive in your car, you can't walk down the street without seeing the accursed thing. But you can sure turn away from it. And there's the mistake. We begin to look. Then we begin to covet. Well, why shouldn't I have that? It would be nice to have that. Again, we referred to a verse, the deceitfulness of riches. You know, it would be good for me to have that. It would be good for my sons and daughters to have that. I believe that's what Achan thought. He looked at that garment, he looked at that silver, and he looked at that gold, and he said, why shouldn't I have that? I want it. Why shouldn't I have it? It would be good for me to have it. It would be good for my sons and my daughters to have it. And they could pass it on to their children. And that's what's happening today. People take of the cursed thing. And they have been convinced that it's good for them. And it'll be good for my children. And their children pass it on to their children. And there's a curse. Oh, how careful we need to be what we set our eyes upon. As soon as we begin to look at something, as soon as we begin to develop an appetite for the accursed thing, we need to fall on our faces before God and repent. Be careful what you take from this world. I believe it's Jeremiah 10, verse 10. Learn not the ways of the heathen. Be careful what you learn. Our schools are filled with the heathen. You pay good money to go to the places where they teach. Learn not the way of the heathen. Be careful what you learn in this world. We need to beware of the ways of this world. Don't develop an appetite for the ways of this world. It'll kill you. It's a fatal attraction. Don't develop an appetite for the reasonings of this world. When God's people begin to think, well, you know, that makes sense. Oh, you're in trouble. You're already gone. You're already gone. You've already brought the curse into your life. Beware of the philosophies of the world. Beware of the conclusions of the world. Beware of the desires and the pursuits of this world. What we do, like Achan, we set our eyes upon the ways, the reasonings, the philosophies, the conclusions, the desires, and the pursuits of the world. We set our eyes upon those things. We develop an appetite for those things. We take those things, and then we put them amongst our stuff. And we bring a curse. How many have taken from the world the carnal reasonings of the world? Well, my grandson has a ball game today, so I won't be in church. Be careful what you take from the world. Be careful. Many people have taken that from the world. They brought it home with them. And then they have the audacity. I don't understand why my little grandson and my little granddaughter don't go to church. It just breaks my heart. Well, you know what ought to break your heart? Is that you started it. by buying into the reasonings of the world. And until you fall on your face before God and say, I have sinned, that's the only thing that'll break the curse. And most are not willing to do that, so the curse continues. Generation to generation. When we develop an appetite for the things of the world, we take it home with us. How many people? They read a magazine, they watch a TV show. And these things get in their minds. Poison, cancers, blights, plagues. And they bring this reasoning home and they begin to raise their children with this reasoning. Be careful what you take from the world. It'll destroy you. It'll destroy your family. It'll rob you, just like Achan's sin robbed Israel of power and joy and courage. Be careful what you take from the world. It'll steal your joy. It'll bring defeat. You know, I picture there when they're getting ready to stone Achan. Achan has admitted his wrong. He's still going to be stoned. And there's his sons and his daughters. And they may have said, Dad, what did you do? Dad, what were you thinking? What were you thinking? It cost his sons and his daughters his life. And that's a good question. What in the world are we thinking when we take of the accursed thing, whether it be the ways, the philosophies, the reasonings, the pursuits of the world, it doesn't matter. When you take of the accursed thing and bring it home, what are you thinking? When you sit your children down and teach them those things, what are you thinking? Well, it'll be good for them. One day there will be a valley of Achor. Payday's coming. Be careful that you do not set your eyes upon that which is destructive. This world is filled with that which will destroy spirituality. And all you have to do is set your eyes on it. And you begin to develop an appetite for it. And when you see that happening, it's sad. When you see it happening in the lives of others, it's sad, because you can go to them and you can say, brother, sister, I want to help you. You're going down the wrong path. Chances are they're not going to listen. And you know why? I've got to have it. I've got to have it. There's no reason I can't. I've got to have this. You might be right, Pastor, but I've got to have it. Oh, God help him. That was Achan. Be careful that you do not lay hold of that which is destructive. In closing, what if we do? What if we look upon, we develop an appetite for, we take, we bring it home and hide it amongst our stuff? What are we to do? Verse 20 of Joshua 7. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel. and thus have I done. Oh, that God would help us to say and to know, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. Verse 23, they took them out of the midst of the tent, that is, the Babylonian garment, the silver, the gold, and brought them unto Joshua and unto all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. If we have that in our lives, which is accursed, which will bring a curse. Again, it can be just the philosophies of the world. If we've brought any of those into our lives, if we have any of these things in our lives, here's what we're to do. We're to bring them all out and lay them before the Lord. And the only thing you can say is, God, I have sinned. Here it is. God, be merciful. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. There are many, many lessons in this story, in this account of Achan. And again, it's an account that ought to cause us to tremble. I don't believe that there is anybody here that would set out on purpose to be an Achan. I don't believe there's anyone here that will set out on purpose to bring destruction to your life and to your home. But you don't have to do it on purpose. You don't have to set out to do it. All you have to do is see it and begin to look at it, begin to think upon it, and begin to convince yourself that, you know, I should have that. You know, it'd be good for me to have that. That's all you have to do. And you bring destruction to your life. I dare say that every single one of us in our lives have that which is accursed, that we've hid amongst our stuff. And it's time for us to bring it out and lay it before God and plead with God to be merciful. God help us to learn from Achan. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in a verse of song.